from the campus of New Hope Christian College. Welcome to Words of New Hope.
You see, when you're first married, here it is. Here's your prayer. Year one, Father, I pray for my precious, sweet, adoring husband. Year two, Lord, you know the man you call my husband? He's a pill. But I pray for him because he needs your help. Year three, Lord, beat some sense into him so he'll come to his senses.
Aloha, and welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero, pastor of New Hope Christian Fellowship in Honolulu. Have you ever prayed for the Lord to bless you, to bless your family, your business, your finances, your health? Well, today, Pastor Wayne is going to show us the power there is when we learn to bless others. It has a way of coming back to us, and it all begins with us praying for others. But like you might suspect, it's important that we pray the right way. Here is Pastor Wayne with a message entitled, The Power of a Blessing.
You remember those days where everything was just wonderful, roses, peaches, and cream. Starlight, stars in your eyes. But then time passes and years go by and candlelight dinners turn into monthly electric bills. Gourmet dinners only produce two overweight people. And he who was her hero is now her zero. She who was hot is now not. And what was, I love you forever, is now, I love you, whatever. Things change. But can you return to this, which is God's inheritance, what God wants for us? Can we ever return to that? Is there a way? And if so, how? What do you do when things seem to slow down? We're going to talk about the inheritance. How God would love for us to have a wonderful life. But often what begins as a blessing seems to end in a curse. Is there any way to return us back to that original state, as it were? Well, Peter walks us through this, and he's going to talk about the fact that receiving that inheritance that we had a taste of in the beginning is possible, but it comes only through an intentional life. We're going to talk about that. You see, if you had an affluent parent that leaves an inheritance for you, but that inheritance comes with a tutor as you grow up, so that tutor has to then determine when you are mature enough and ready enough to steward that inheritance, and then that inheritance is released to you, maybe even incrementally at first, to make sure that you can steward it well. Well, God has wonderful things for us in areas of forgiveness or healing or blessing, all a part of our inheritance. Well, you say, well, how then do we get that released to us? Because it seems like in the beginning it's all there and then it seems to fade. Is it still possible? Only if you move into an intentional life. It's called a life of faith. We're going to talk about that. But first, let's go to the top of our notes and let's read what 1 Peter 3:8-9 says as we continue to walk through 1 Peter, and we're in the third chapter today. We're talking about inheriting the blessings, the power of a blessing. Let's read it together. Go. To sum up, all of you be harmonious, sympathetic, brotherly, kind-hearted, and humble in spirit, not returning evil for evil or insult for insult. Here it is, but giving a blessing instead. Why? For you were called for the very purpose that you might inherit a blessing. So many times things which seem to start as a blessing end up in a curse. Can we return to that? Yeah. But it's going to require an intentional life. Intentional? Yeah. Because see, in the beginning, it's automatic. Seems like it. I say this to people, and you may have recalled me saying this before, but life is like a car, only in the opposite. You see, a car, long ago, everything was manual or intentional. Everything was manual. Manual steering, manual brakes, manual clutch, manual transmission, manual radio dial. You don't just have buttons, or now it's just seek. No, you turn manual windows, manual locks, manual seat adjustment. Everything is manual. Even air conditioning is manual. Roll down your window. But as time went by, because of the advance of technology, things in the car or the automobile industry went from manual to automatic. Now it's automatic steering. You can steer with one finger, automatic brakes, automatic transmission, automatic radio. You didn't even have to touch the radio. It's all on your steering wheel. Automatic windshield wipers, automatic window, automatic locks, automatic seat adjustment, automatic air conditioning. Not only one zone, some cars have four zones of different individualized air conditioning. Amazing. It goes from manual to automatic. In fact, now you have remotes in your pocket. It just senses the proximity that you are from the car's door. When you walk up to it, it automatically unlocks. You sit in the thing, you don't even have to adjust the seat. It senses the remote and who it belongs to and zzzz remotely. Isn't that right? And then you don't have to even start the car. You just push a button. You don't have to put the key in the ignition. It won't be long before you don't even have to open the door. You just walk up to it and an arm will come out and grab you by the butt and put you in. Automatic. But life is exactly the opposite. It starts automatic and it moves to manual or intentional. Isn't that true? When you're young, someone pours food in one side of your body, it comes out the other. And then clean up, automatic. And as you grow up, food is automatic. You just come to the table, sit down, boom, oh, automatic food. And then you go to bed, you get up one morning, you come to bed the next night, clean sheets, automatic. Room is cleaned, automatic. You don't even have to go to school. Someone takes you to school, pays for your school, automatic. And then you can eat anything you want and you stay thin, automatic. Not anymore. When you fall in love, automatic. I love you, I love you, I love you more. Automatic. Everything is so easy. But then as time goes by, it doesn't really degrade. It just goes from automatic to intentional. You see, in the beginning, you just look at your girlfriend. Oh, love comes automatic. Now I stare at my wife. She looks at me. What? It's not automatic anymore. But can you still have a relationship? Can you still love one another? Yes, but it moves from automatic to intentional. Before it used to be, oh, I love you. Now it's, I love you still. Not automatic. It's intentional. Everything goes from automatic to intentional. And if you'll understand that, you'll be able to move into where the fulcrum is, where it's feelings. You'll move into this whole second part of life, which is intentional, which is even greater. But this is where the inheritance is going to be released to you. Not on this side when it's all about feelings. It's going to be on this side when we walk not by sight, but we walk by faith. Whereas when you're a brand new Christian, forgiveness was easy. Oh, let him go. Devotions, wanting to read the Bible, coming to church. Yes. But after a while, it's still important, but you must do it intentionally, not automatically. And that decision will be one of the most important decisions you'll ever make. To move into a life that is intentional. Well, you say, how do you move that way? Especially when there's people that, like in relationships, that go from a blessing to a curse. Well, that'll happen. That'll happen in your family. That'll happen in your marriage. That'll happen even in church, where relationships that used to be so sparkly aren't. So do we bail out on one another? Well, we often do. But should we? No. Because if you can move past that into an intentional life, you will begin to receive your inheritance, and not before that. Because often we just bail out on each other. The Lord is saying, you haven't even moved into an intentional life yet. In fact, let me give you the first axiom of a successful life. Would you write it in there, the first one? Here's an axiom of a successful life. Blessings follow an intentional life. Blessings follow an intentional life, not before it. Because you see, those relationships will sort of stale. But how do you bring buoyancy back? Well, you're going to have to understand what it means to have an intentional life. Let's read what it says in Luke 6:32. Go. If you just love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. Yeah, we've got to go beyond that to love those who don't love them. Then your love becomes an intentional love, not a love of feeling. Because when Jesus loved us, it was an intentional love. Did we deserve it? No. What about from the cross when we hurled curses at him? He said, Father, forgive them. Was that by feeling? No. It was an intentional forgiveness. And when we understand that we live on this side of the cross, we too must live an intentional life, and all the inheritance that God has will begin to be released, but it'll be released only on the intentional side. Because here's what God is saying. Would you write in that bullet? We must learn to live by what you know, no longer by how you feel. You must learn to live by what you know, no longer by how you feel. Let's read Romans 1:17. Go. The just shall live by... Yeah. But you see, the just, or those that are saved in Christ, we will still have relationships that'll go squirrely, and not everybody's going to like you. And we'll want to let them know a little bit of what we think. But we've got to be able to overcome that and move into an intentional life where what we would like to do and what we would like to say, we kill that, we die to that, and we speak what faith says. Is it easy? Mm-mm. It's an intentional life. But that's the arena in which your inheritance will be released, and not until then. We need to learn to live an intentional life. In fact, let's read what Genesis 4 says together. Go. Sin is crouching at your door. It wants to rule you, but you must overcome it. Yeah. You know what I'm finding is that the longer I am in Christ, the tougher it is to overcome certain things. Like when someone says something crazy or you get upset, forgiveness doesn't come as easily as it used to, because now it is intentional. Now, I want you to go to the top of your notes again, and just to remind us now what Peter is saying, let's read that scripture again right at the top. Go. To sum up, all of you be harmonious, sympathetic, brotherly, kind-hearted, and humble in spirit, not returning evil for evil or insult for insult, but giving a blessing instead, for you were called for the very purpose that you might inherit. God is saying, I want you to inherit a blessing, but you have to remember that we cannot return evil for evil or insult for insult, but giving a blessing instead, huh? Yeah. Well, what if I want to give him an insult? It's an intentional blessing, not based on whether they deserve it or not, or whether you feel like it or not. It's intentionality. And when you begin to live an intentional life with your marriage, an intentional life, because you won't always feel lovey-dovey. You won't always feel like your kids are respectful and deserving of things. So do we then cut off relationships? Often we do. And we still stay as a family, but without relationship. How do you restore that? We must learn to live an intentional life. And let me give you the stages of an intentional life, especially when relationships go sideways, because that's where it starts to tumble. And the first stage is this. Would you write down in your notes, the first stage of an intentional life is this: quick forgiveness. No, not just forgiveness. It is what? Quick forgiveness. Would you circle that word quick and fill in the blank? Forgiveness. Quick forgiveness. Matthew 5 says, but I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. That's an intentional life. See, in the beginning, forgiveness, quick forgiveness is easy. Oh, honey. Yes, sweetheart. I forgot the keys. It's okay. Now, honey, I forgot the keys. Where's your brain? You forget that too? Isn't that right? All of a sudden, forgiveness is not as easy. But it used to be quick, but it isn't anymore. Here's what I'm finding. Forgiveness is not natural as much as it used to be. It's not innate. It's not as instinctive, not as automatic. You know why? Because, you see, when I was a young Christian, forgiveness came very easily. And now that I've been walking with Christ for a long time, I forgive, but not so easily. I forgive, but not so quickly. And then I wonder why things go bad in my life and I get injured all the time. Nah. You see, the Bible is saying, here's an important thing. You've got to forgive, not just forgive, but you got to forgive how? Quickly. This guy was berating me for a couple of months, sending me these emails and all of these things. And I was getting just upset because he was not only wrong, he was naggingly wrong. And it was getting a little nauseating. And I remember I was talking to people, you know, who is this guy? And we were just kind of biting on him after a while. I remember driving down the freeway, the H1, and I was complaining to God, and I heard God say something so clearly. He said, Wayne, you need to forgive him right away. And I thought, what? And it wasn't like God was demeaning or disciplining me. You need to forgive him right away. No, it was like a sense of urgency. You need to do it right away, right away. And I thought, why? And I started to carry on a conversation with God. And then I started to evaluate things, and here's what I heard God say. The reason you need to forgive him right away is because if you don't, you're starting to become just like the one that's giving you a hard time. You're starting to become just like the one you cannot forgive. So wrapped in a different packaging, but you're becoming just like him. Your spirit is starting to be the same. Your angst is being the same. You're getting back at one another, same. You become exactly like the one you can't forgive. And so God was saying, forgive him right now, because it's starting to happen. It's starting to take place. You see, when I forgive, it keeps me free from that same sickness being contagious and affecting me. It protects you. But not only does it protect you from becoming like that other person, it also protects you from being scarred permanently because of another person. Isn't it true that a lot of us, we get scarred permanently because of something else that someone else has done, even as Christians? Be honest, how many of you say, I've been scarred permanently by some other people? Raise your hand. Yeah, a lot of us have. Yeah, and then our tendency is to become jaded to certain kinds of people. And we become extremely opinionated, not because we believe in this thing so much, but because someone did something against us, and now I've taken the other side, and I'm just as opinionated as that person was on the other side. I've become like them. And I've been scarred emotionally and permanently. And one of the reasons why God says you need to forgive quick forgiveness, is because it keeps you from being scarred permanently. It's sort of like this. I put some paper in your hand, and someone comes and lights it on fire. Ow! Ow! Well, let it go, I say. Oh, ow, he shouldn't have lit this on fire anyway. Ow! Let it go. Ow! It's burning me. That turkey, that terrible person. Let it go. Ow! It's burning me. Let it go. Ow! Look what you did to me. No, he didn't do it to you. Yes, he did. No, he didn't. Yeah, he lit it on fire. No, I told you to let it go. I did, but not quick enough. See, that happens to us as Christians. In the beginning, we forgive really quickly. But isn't it true after a while, you've been a Christian for a while, you forgive, but not very quickly. And we sustain damage and injury from one another. And what happens is, what really God designed to be a blessing turns into a curse because we're injured by one another. And God is saying the first stage of an intentional life is to forgive quickly. Let's read what it says and see how it's also reciprocal. Remember, when you forgive, it keeps you from being like that other person and it keeps you from being injured permanently. There is a reciprocal benefit of healing. Let's read what it says here. Go. Whenever you stand praying, forgive if you have anything against anyone, so that your Father who is in heaven will also forgive you your transgressions. Do you believe that part of your inheritance is forgiveness? Then how's that inheritance going to be released? By me issuing forgiveness. You see, here's a cool thing about forgiveness. Intentional forgiveness, not because he deserves it, intentional forgiveness, as I issue it, it releases a portion of my inheritance. Forgiveness. See, when I have a hard time forgiving people, I ask myself, Wayne, how much forgiveness do you still need? If you don't need any, then you don't need to forgive them. But the Bible says, as you forgive, you will be forgiven. Here's the question. Do you still need any more forgiveness? How many of you would say, I still need a little bit more forgiveness? Yeah, when I ask myself that question, then I think, I need to forgive. Yeah, but you know what he did? Doesn't matter. I need forgiveness. Yeah, but you know what an idiot he is? Doesn't matter. I need forgiveness. And a part of my inheritance will be released when I issue quick forgiveness. So it keeps me from becoming like that person. It keeps me from permanent injury. And when I issue that forgiveness, it releases a part of my inheritance. See, the first stage of living an intentional life is not just forgiveness, it's quick forgiveness. Everybody say quick. It's not just forgiveness, it's quick forgiveness. Otherwise, we injure ourselves. The second stage of intentionality is not just when you quickly forgive and forget and move on, but the second stage of living an intentional life goes one step further, and it's not that you just forgive, you actually, would you write down, pray for them early on. Early on. Because you see, we still pray, but our prayer changes along the way. Early on. Why? Luke 6, 28, let's read it, go. Pray for those who, yeah, see, we pray, but we, our prayer changes. Our prayer changes. You see, when you're first married, here it is. Here's your prayer. Year one, you're married. Year one. Dear Father, I pray for my precious, sweet, adoring husband that you will help him today. Year two, Lord, you know the man you call my husband? He's a pill. But I pray for him because he needs your help. Year three, Lord, pluck out his eyes and dash him against a rock. Beat some sense into him so he'll come to his senses. Good night. Glory to God. Hallelujah forever. Isn't that right? That's how we pray. And we still pray. But our prayer changes. And the Lord is saying, when things go funny, pray. Why? Remember, things that we issue, like forgiveness and prayer, are going to be, here's the word, reciprocal, which means in order to receive a blessing, there's got to be something that you issue intentionally, not feeling-wise, because it won't be there, but you move across the fulcrum, and you go to this side of the equation, and it's an intentional life where your forgiveness is intentional. Not because I feel like it. And the reason I pray for someone is intentional. Why? Because it's reciprocal. That's where I'm going to receive my inheritance. What's your inheritance when you pray for those who mistreat you? Here it is. Let's read it together. James 5:16. Go. Therefore, confess your sins to one another. Here it is. And pray for one another. Why? So that you may be. Circle the word you. Pray for one another. Why? So that who can be healed? Yeah, here's what the Lord is saying. When you pray for one another who mistreats you and where their sins abound, but yet you're praying for one another, what does God release to you? Healing. Is that a part of your inheritance? Absolutely. And maybe the reason we aren't healed as much in relationships that need to be restored back to its buoyancy, its blessings of the beginning, is because we don't pray often for one another. Oh, we pray when it feels right, but we don't pray when it's intentional. With the heart of Christ. When you begin to pray intentionally, it releases a part of our inheritance called healing. Pray for one another so that you may be healed. Because it'll always come back to you. If I say, I can't pray for him, I can't forgive, then what's going to be reciprocal? Bitterness. It doesn't hurt them, it hurts you. Here's a definition of bitterness. Bitterness is like drinking poison and waiting for the other person to die. Isn't that right? Yeah, because it always comes back on you if you don't forgive. There's this joke about this Porgy guy.
Well, bummer of a place to cut the message, but we are all out of time for today. You'll want to tune in about 23 hours and 30 minutes from now to hear about Pastor Wayne's friend, Mano. You've been listening to part one of a message entitled The Power of a Blessing by Pastor Wayne Cordero of New Hope Christian Fellowship in Honolulu. We invite you to visit our website where you'll find more helpful resources from Pastor Wayne, including his messages on podcast. You can also find Pastor Wayne's daily devotional. That web address is www.enewhope.org. Again, that's enewhope.org. Thank you for listening to Words of New Hope. Until next time, for Pastor Wayne Cordero, this is Del Gibbs wishing you God's very best and aloha.
What if there were a place where you could discover, develop, and fulfill your dreams? That place is New Hope Christian College.
New Hope Christian College is a place where your teachers really do care about you, they want you to succeed, and they're willing to partner with you to do whatever it takes to make that happen.
The education that I've received at New Hope has really equipped me to graduate market ready.
For more information, go online to newhope.edu or call 1-800-322-2638. New Hope Christian College, a place where dreams are released.